Hello, and welcome to Right Now with Ralph Martin, a podcast where author, speaker, and worldwide renewal leader, Dr. Ralph Martin, shares what the Holy Spirit is stirring up in the church right now. Words of encouragement from the Lord to strengthen you for such a time as this. We are glad you can be with us this week as we seek to encourage you for this moment in history. And now, your host, Ralph Martin.
This week we have John Kazanchian with us, and John is a local boy. He lives in Ann Arbor, Michigan, with Peter Herbeck and myself, and he's a local committed businessman who is serving the Lord in all different kinds of ways. We just thought it'd be interesting for you to just hear his story about how'd you get, John, to this point of just being a committed layman as you are?
Ralph, it really started when I was in college. When I left high school, I'm an Armenian boy. I was born in the Armenian community and lived in Los Angeles. When I was in high school, went to an Armenian high school. And it was really during my college days that I started to really confront some serious issues in my life, some serious failings in my life that I felt like needed to be addressed. And although I grew up in the church and always had a Bible next to my bed, I really never read it. And then as I was confronting the tough issues and realizing my own shortcomings, I decided that maybe I would give God a chance in my life. And as I started to pursue that, some people came into my life, mainly through the church. I met a young guy in New York at the Armenian at an Armenian camp, really, that was run by the seminary. And he was from here. He was from Michigan. And he really confronted me about some of the issues in my life and said that I really should commit my life to Jesus. And he led me in a prayer to do that. And that was really the beginning of it. That changed everything. Hmm. I decided at that point that I really need to have Christians around me, guys that were committed, that could help me live the Christian life. One of the things I always said is when I fell down, I wanted somebody there to pick me up. And when I was riding too high, I wanted somebody to give me a kick in the pants. And I felt like if I had guys around me like that, it would really make a difference for my life. And I knew that there were a strong group of committed Christians at the University of Michigan's campus. And really, it was because of that beginning of making that decision to leave home. It was very hard to do. I was the first person in my family to really kind of say, I'm not going to stay in the tribe. You know, I'm going to get out.
It was in California, right?
It was a long way. And, you know, I'll never forget getting in the car with a friend to drive that distance to Michigan that first time. And I just started weeping in the car because there was something in me that knew I'd never go back. Hmm. I'd never go back there and, you know, really making that break.
Now, did you say you specifically came to the University of Michigan because you knew there were Christians there?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Great friend, John Merigian.
Oh, yeah.
He was really the one that said, come out here and live with us and be in a house with a bunch of guys. Oh, yeah. And we'll work together and we'll try and reach out to Armenians at the University of Michigan. And, you know, something in my heart really said that that was the right thing to do. And I had a number of other offers. The bishop in New York wanted me to go out there, and the bishop in California wanted me to stay there. And there was just something in my heart that said, really, give this a try.
You were raised in a godly atmosphere, more or less, you know,
yes.
In the church.
And, yes.
And, you know, you had some respect for God in the church, but it was that friend at that summer camp that actually kind of invited you.
That's right.
Into a deeper personal relationship with Christ.
That's right.
And so that person reaching out to you was really important, wasn't it?
It changed your life, didn't it? It changed my life and taught me something.
Yeah.
That if I want to have that same kind of influence in people's lives, I need to be bold enough to reach out to others.
Yeah.
I need to be willing to say to others, you know, there's something else out there. There's something more for you out there.
You know, people are so concerned, John, today, but I don't want to impose the truth on anybody. Mm-hmm. Did you feel imposed on anybody?
No. In all honesty, I mean, one of my heroes is John Paul II. I mean, I think he is my hero. And I love his line, we don't impose, we only propose.
Yeah. And a friend offered you an opportunity.
Right. He didn't twist my arm.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I made my decision, there were no bells and whistles going off. There was no thunder and lightning. There was nothing really special, but there was something deep in my heart that said, life is going to be different for me now.
Yeah, somebody bothered to share with you this treasure. And, you recognize it as a treasure, and you said yes to it. And,
right.
And okay, so hey, look, you're having fun playing football and hanging out with Christian guys. Right. What's the rest of the story?
Well, the rest of the story is when you move on, and you really want to now make that part of your life. You really want to make that break with what you used to do, but it's so hard to do. And that's the importance of having people around you. And really, that was the merciful thing that God gave to me through this decision was great mentors around me, like yourself, like Peter, like so many other wonderful guys that took the time to come alongside of me and help me through the college years, through deciding to get married, through finding a wife, and then looking again for people who can mentor me as a married man.
Yeah.
And all along, you know, my faith was an important part. I mean, even my wife has mentored me in many ways because she grew up in a good, strong Catholic family. They traveled a lot. They did a lot of work in the renewal. Her father is a deacon in the church. And I really felt like this is really where it's at. You know, yes, I can be a successful businessman, and I've been blessed to be able to do that. But really what inspires me is when I see people's lives change, when I see people free, when I see people able to make a decision for God. And that's really a huge transition that had to happen over the next, I'd say, many years, 10, 15 years.
Tell folks a little bit about your family, your businesses, and how in the midst of being a family man, in the mm-hmm. midst of being a businessman, mm-hmm. you're also a Christian witness.
Well, Ralph, that's... again, without the help of guys, like I have a men's group that I meet with also who are solid guys, who are businessmen, teachers, accountants. And our life together, really sharing our lives together, has shown me many things and how to raise a family and talking about that. I have a beautiful wife and five sweet daughters. We homeschooled our kids and they've done quite well. I started a business really on the encouragement of a friend, Peter, who saw me really struggling in the business world and said, I think you should, you know, consider that. And I did. And I found a business. I purchased a small business and started working it. And I think my entrepreneurial juices just started to flow, that natural Armenian-ness in me. And, you know, the business flourished. I had a packing and shipping store that turned into a student moving business, that turned into a student laundry business, that turned into a truck rental business. And we tried a number of things. Those are the things that have succeeded. We tried a number of things that failed, but those are the things that really have blessed us. So we've done well financially. But again, it was really one day when, again, Peter called me up and said, Ralph is going to Turkey. Would you be willing to go with him? And that was a big step.
Yeah.
That was a huge
step. Explain why that was a big step, John.
That was a huge step because, you see, anybody who's familiar with the history of the Turks and Armenians knows there's a lot of animosity there. Armenia really is a very small country, but a majority of Armenians lived in what is now Turkey. Pretty much the eastern half of Turkey was inhabited by Armenians, and that's where my family came from. And beginning in 1915, over 1 million Armenians were massacred, were killed, genocide, relocated without food or water, any which way you want to put it. There was a very terrible thing that happened there. And my family included, my grandparents were obviously affected by that. Many of them perished in their family, and I'm their survivor. So to go back to Turkey was a big deal. I was actually concerned for your safety when Peter called me originally. And I thought, I've been to Turkey a couple times as a boy. At the very least, I'll make sure that Ralph gets home safely, that I'll help him not get stuck in an airport and, you know, help keep him out of harm's way. That was a good part of my original intent. But at the same time, again, that zeal for changing lives, that zeal for wanting to make a change in the world and feeling like I'd always said that I wanted to be a missionary and wanted to raise my children as missionaries and to be able to change the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so that desire in me had never changed. And so to go to Turkey, and when we were there together, I think that was just significant for me to be a part of that team and to feel like a member of something that was really bringing change. And as we went to people's homes and apartments and churches and spoke, I saw a magnetism there. I saw that we were attracted to one another. The Armenians, the Turks, anybody we really ran into, I felt a little bit like St. Patrick going back to Ireland. And, I made him my saint, and I would ask him to intercede for me. And then so many other saints from Turkey, you know, Mary spent time in Turkey, and St. Paul, of course, is from what is now Turkey, and St. John spent a lot of time in Turkey. We have so many wonderful intercessors that we can call on who are familiar with this land.
When we went, it was just you and Randy Serner and myself. And I felt like I was, in a sense, the guide.
Well, it kind of helped that you were the only one that knew Armenian and Turkish.
Yeah, that didn't hurt.
I mean, was a relevant fact.
But I think what really happened is when you would speak, Ralph, you made me part of the team. Because we had this, I called it our dog and pony show. What would happen is we'd go into an apartment and filled with folks, and Ralph would give a teaching. Randy would tell a great story. He's a wonderful storyteller that it would apply to that the teaching that Ralph would give. And then I would give a little personal testimony on how it applied to my life as a businessman. So they could see that, you know, this isn't just for religious people. This isn't just for professionals. And every time I stood up to start speaking, there was something that happened in me as well as something that happened there. And then we would often, you know, ask people if they wanted to receive prayer at the end, and that we'd make ourselves available to pray with them. And I was noticing that they were all wanting me to pray over them. And Ralph, of course, noticed this as well. And near the end of our visit, he called me to his room and said, I think you ought to come back here. I think you ought to come back to Turkey. And I started crying, and I said, Ralph, I don't think I can. It's so hard for me to be here in this place. There's just too many memories. I've learned too much history. This is too hard to do. And Ralph, you said something to me that I'll never forget. And that was, you said, do you experience true joy here? And I said, I do. And he said, well, you only experience true joy when you do what the Lord calls you to do. So go home and don't worry about it for now, and ask for the grace if this is what he wants you to do. And as hard as it has been to go back to Turkey as many times as I have, I do experience true joy every time I go back. Yeah. And so now I'm standing up before crowds of people and speaking.
Every single one of us is called to be a witness. Every single layperson, every single baptized Christian is really called to be a witness. And this is one of the main things that the Holy Spirit is trying to emphasize in the church today, that us lay people need to awaken and accept our responsibility, accept our call, and work through our discomfort, and really be willing to take a step and be a witness for Christ, to speak a word when a word should be spoken, to carry out an action when an action should be carried out. And John, your story is so helpful for that, because, you know, it wasn't easy at the beginning. You know, it took steps, you know. Maybe tell us a little more.
Well, Ralph, I'd say that it really began in my wife's court. You know, I mean, she said, let's do some things together as a family to orient our kids toward being outwardly mobile, you know, outwardly concerned with other people. She said, all of my Protestant friends really raised their kids right from the beginning to have that, you know, as part of their life. And she said, shouldn't Catholics also have that? And I felt like she was right, absolutely. So we decided to take some steps. And first we decided to reach out to a soup kitchen and to do some work there, and then to do something within the state, and did things in Detroit where they needed some help. And then we went as a family on one of the fire rallies to Toronto together, and were part of the prayer ministry team. And then we culminated, it was a 2-year venture. We culminated it with a trip of the entire family to Turkey. Mm-hmm. And we stayed with we stayed near the patriarch, the Armenian patriarch there. And it was just a really huge learning experience for our family.
Yeah.
But it, again, what it did is it moved me from a place of seeing people like yourselves who were full-time lay apostles to an identity in myself that
I too am a full-time lay apostle. I just happen to own a business as well. And as the Lord provides time for me, I want to get involved in that as well. So, you know, most guys my age, as they grow older, they do earn a better income and they get themselves in a position where they have more free time. And that's happened to me. And as a result, I've been able to make trips to Turkey and I've been to Lebanon and I'd like to go other places as well and start really orienting myself more toward that which I think is the desire of every man, which is I want to help change the world for good.
Well, not only that, John, but you're very active in our local Catholic parish.
I am.
You know, even without going anywhere, you're doing something right out of the parish.
Take a small step. Really, that's what I keep trying to tell my friends. You know, one of the guys from my men's group came to Turkey with me on the trip. And he had really never done anything like that before, but he just called me up a few weeks before and said, he's a teacher, you know? And Dave said, you know, I'm going to be on break that week you're in Turkey. Could I come with you? I don't have money for a ticket. So we found some money for him and he chipped some in himself, but he took a step. I mean, it changed his life. I know it changed his life. I saw him in a different light. When you actually get out there, and we've seen this so many times, when you get out there and you're putting yourself out there and you're taking a chance and you're afraid, God never abandons you in that moment. He never just lets you go. He always is there to support you and give you even more. We often say, and Ralph, I've heard you say, that the gifts seem to be more operative when we're out on mission.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so true.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't fail us in that moment. He comes and rescues us and helps us
mm-hmm.
and anoints us in an even greater way.
Yeah. Well, I think what you said there about taking small steps is so true. You know, Jesus says, you know, he was faithful in little things. We placed over larger things. And you were faithful in little things.
Right.
And now you've been placed over larger things.
Yeah.
And that's the lesson. Just take a step. You know, start with where you are. Just start right where you are and take a step. The Lord will give you an opportunity. He'll show you a step and you just need to take it.
Amen.
So, you know, I know the purpose of this program, the purpose of having John here is not to encourage people to go with us on mission trips, but that is a possibility. You know, we do have these short-term mission trips that John went on, that we went on together all over the world. Every month we have a mission trip or two going to as close as Mexico, as far away as Kazakhstan. And if you'd like to go on a short-term mission trip with Renewal Ministries, just go to our website, renewalministries.net, or call us or write to us, and we'll give you information about how you can be part of a mission team that goes on one of these short-term mission trips. But in the meantime, a lot of us feel weighed down and pressured by the problems, the discouraging things in our life personally, the discouraging things that may be happening in our countries. And there's really hope in the midst of stress. There's really hope in the midst of turmoil. There's really hope in the midst of darkness. And that hope is the light of the world. And Jesus Christ is not up for re-election. He never has to get re-elected. He is the Lord, no matter what happens or doesn't happen. And he's ready right now in our life to give us peace, to give us stability, to give us purpose, to give us direction, to give us everything we need to live in obedience and joy and mission every day of our life. We want more and more Christians to be Christians of hope and Christians who are willing to do the little things and take the little steps to lead to big things.
This podcast is brought to you by Renewal Ministries, part of the Renewal Podcast Network. If you are enjoying this podcast, we invite you to help us spread the word by leaving us a rating or review, following or subscribing to this podcast, or sharing on social media. Until next time, this is Right Now with Ralph Martin.